Our reading for Friday, April 17th, will begin in the book of John, chapter 16, and verse 1. John, chapter 16, and verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of the disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us, A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father? So they were asking, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking about asking yourselves what I meant by saying, A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for a joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus tells them at the beginning of the chapter, I've said these things to keep you from falling away. He's talking about everything that we've read over the last couple of days in chapter 14 and 15. And he tells them they will put you out of the synagogues. There's going to come persecution. There will continue to be opposition. You need to know that. You need to be prepared for it, but you're not going to be alone. And he says, indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like Saul, doesn't it, who becomes Paul the Apostle. They will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. So part of it is a little bit of preparation, but the other is so that they will remember these things and be able to take some encouragement that they are not alone. Then at the latter part of verse 4, when he says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, well, he's just talking about the fact that now that he's leaving, he's sending the Holy Spirit, but before he was going to be with them for a while, and so there was not a need to say the same things. I think also that we can remember that during Jesus' ministry, the focus of persecution is on Jesus and not necessarily on the disciples, though there were some occasions in which they were questioned about things. But it was mainly directed at Jesus. Now, after Jesus is gone and he sends the helper, the persecution is going to be directed toward his apostles. And he spends some time talking here about the sorrow that they're going to feel. Verse 6, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he begins to talk a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit here, convicting the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. I would add to this, even though this isn't the point that Jesus is making with them, but it's to their advantage that Jesus go as well, because that is the conclusion of his role as the Lamb of God coming to be the sacrifice for sins. And if he doesn't do that, if he doesn't conclude that work, then that forgiveness of sins does not come. The good news is not then spread. The kingdom has not then come. So, very advantageous for them and us as well that Jesus conclude that work. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Spirit will guide them into all the truth. And he's not going to be speaking of his own authority, but he's going to be speaking the things that he hears. So the Holy Spirit is then the one doing the inspiring, but it's not the one coming up with everything. It's speaking the words of God, much the way that Jesus described himself, that he came to speak and to do the will of God. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all doing the same will and accomplishing the same purpose. So again he says, a little while you will see me no longer, and again a little while you will see me. I think here that he's referring to his crucifixion, burial, and then resurrection. And it's going to be a very distressing time for them. You and I know that they did exactly what Jesus told them they would do, which is they were scattered whenever Jesus was arrested. Yes, there were some that followed, wanted to see what was going to happen. But for the most part, yeah, Jesus was alone. And then, of course, Peter denying him. But Jesus says, no, I'm not actually going to be alone. And so they're a little bit confused by the way he's speaking. You won't see me, and then you will see me. And Jesus knows what's going on, that he knows what they're thinking about. Verse 20, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. The worldly, that is those that are opposed to Jesus, are going to rejoice and think, well, we accomplished what we set out to do. We killed this man, Jesus. He says, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Certainly joy at the resurrection, but I think also joy in the ascension of Jesus and the establishment of his church, the preaching of the gospel, the salvation of souls. All of those are things to be joyful about. In verse 21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, and when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. Well, obviously, if a woman thinks about childbirth, they'll tell you, I was in labor for so-and-so many hours, and you know, we had this difficulty or that difficulty. They remember that it happened, and they remembered details about it. But the joy of the child outweighs the pain and the anguish of the childbirth. And so the joy that they have after all of this is done is going to outweigh the anguish of the arrest, the mock trial, the crucifixion, and the burial of Jesus. So then he gets down to verse 25, and he says, I've been talking to you in figures of speech, but there's going to come a time in which I'm not going to use figures of speech. I will tell you plainly. Then he says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, have come into the world, now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And their response to all this is, now you're telling us plainly and not using figures of speech. In order for figures of speech to be effective, the person hearing those figures has to be able to figure it out. They have to be able to have some frame of reference. Sometimes we hear someone that comes from a different culture, a different area, perhaps even a different language, and they might make a figure of speech, and we don't understand it. It's because we have no frame of reference. It's not something we're accustomed to. So that's why sometimes figures of speech can be difficult. We need that frame of reference to be able to interpret it. And so now he's saying, no, I'm going to speak to you plainly. I'm going to tell you these things. Verse 30, then he says, now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Well, they're recognizing that knowledge level that he has. And he asks, do you now believe? And he says, there's this time coming when you're going to be scattered. You're all going to go away from me. I'm going to be left alone. But know that I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And he says, I'm telling you these things so that you may have peace. The peace might be in the midst of the circumstance, but I think more likely he's talking about afterward, easing their conscience about scattering, especially after his resurrection, just feeling guilty for not being there with him during the trial and crucifixion. I don't know that for sure, but that's Daryl's best guess. And it says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but remember, I've overcome the world. And he does. He brings victory over sin and death, victory over Satan, victory that you and I can't receive on our own, we can't make on our own, we're not strong enough to do on our own. But here he says, I have overcome, I am strong enough, I will give you victory. That it is that victory that you and I need to rejoice in. If we are part of the body of Christ, if we have been obedient through faith to his gospel, then we should have joy and confidence because the Lamb of God is on our side and he grants to us victory. We are to be a victorious people. Thank you for listening today. I hope this has benefited you. Please come back tomorrow as we do John chapter 17.